Right, team. It's bottom of the ninth. Bases are loaded. We've got to smash this. We need to bring the best noise-cancelling podcast anyone has ever heard, and we need to bring it right now. Are you with me?
Yeah!
Yes!
Did I get the baseball analogy right?
Yes!
Yeah! Yeah, go USA. Hello, everybody. This is the Noise Cancelling Podcast. As I've mentioned already, it is your chance to hear about the week's tech news, but probably more frippery than anything else. I am Gareth Beavis, Global Editor-in-Chief of Tech Radar, and with me today, we have...
Sherielle Smith, Editor-in-Chief of Laptop Mag.
I am Matt Swider, Managing Editor at Tech Radar, and yes, I will have PS5 restock info.
I'm Vic Hood, the Gaming Editor of Tech Radar.
Yeah, and as Matt's already talked about there, we've got multiple things to talk about today, one of them being... the PS5 restock, but also Beast Burger. Matt Swider, give me your thoughts. I know this is something you've been popular on Twitter for you recently.
Right, so Mr. Beast, which is a he's a very popular YouTuber, and actually quite enjoyable YouTube videos. His brand decided to launch a burger, which is at a bunch of local restaurants, so you can order it for delivery. And it was actually pretty good. It comes with a couple customizationable options, and it reminded me of a Whopper, which I have not had in a while, but with better fries. Sorry, Burger King fries, you're not very good. Yeah. And I enjoyed it, but... it's going to be a luxury thing because you have to get it delivered, and delivery fee is quite high. It's one block from me, so I could have easily picked it up, but that's just not the case. Probably because they don't want you to let you know that there's not an actual Mr. Beast burger. It's just an app that ties to a local restaurant that is cooking a burger for you to their specifications.
Is that always going to be the same in each? Surely it'd be such variation if it's different kitchens doing... same thing.
That's my guess. So I kind of want to order it from a different place just to see if there is variations, and also to have another burger.
We need Swider investigates on this.
Did you get a Burger King burger then? Is that what you got?
It tastes like a Whopper. But I haven't had a Whopper in several years, like a real Whopper. So therefore, I was like, oh, kind of nostalgic about it. But the fries were what made it, and they have some sort of seasoning on them that you just don't get. So I was impressed enough, but it's going to be a luxury thing for me.
Okay, well, this is leading us into nicely to the big question, which is, you know, if you could have any celebrity to create a burger, which would you want to eat and why? Not a very tech question, I'll be honest, but it was the one that we kept talking about the most in the production meeting. So, Cherie, talk us through your burger.
I would have Megan Thee Stallion make me a burger because she is from... she is from Texas, and she is thick, so I'm imagining that the patty itself would be meaty and juicy and done right, because Texas does barbecue. I would imagine that it would have, I could get it with picante or some spicy barbecue sauce or something like that, fried onions, a fried egg, and like some brisket to top it off.
Vic, I don't know what you're going to say, but good luck.
I don't know how I'm going to beat that. I
don't know if you can.
I can, but I'm a fan of like a good like buffalo chicken burger. Like that's my thing. That's what like I had for lunch today. I'd like to see, it's not really a celebrity, but I'd like to see like a Pokemon range of burgers where you have a nice like Charmander spicy buffalo burger, and then, you know, for you veggies, a nice Bulbasaur burger, not made out of the actual Pokemon. But, you know, I don't know what we do with Pikachu, but we get around there. That kind of thing. I'd like a Charmander buffalo burger just slathered in cheese, please.
Two questions to you, Vic, there. Number one, where's the celebrity in this? Is it just Pokemon in general?
Yeah, but like I said, it's not really a celebrity, but Charmander's also a celebrity. Do you think that a Charmander could walk down the street and people wouldn't ask for an autograph?
Correct. Okay, fair enough. Absolutely covered that one. But second one, when you did you feel the need to reference that it wouldn't be actual Bulbasaur in the burger? Because
because I said it, and then I realized when I was like, a Bulbasaur burger, and I was like, oh, that could go.
No, more to the point, like, you do know that there's no such thing as a Bulbasaur in real life.
Yeah, but PETA has been protesting against Pokemon for I don't even know how long. So, yes, she had to preface that because the PETA folks would have come down on us.
True. Okay, again.
And Pikachu's based on a real, like, animal. So, you know.
Electric mice, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. You've answered my questions very well, and thank you for your candor. Matt Swider.
Yes,
we already talked about your favorite, but have you got any other options you'd like to see given your foray into the world of celeb burgers?
Right, so that's just the beginning. Mr. Beast Burger is a good start. I would love to see a collaboration between at least two people, if not three. The Rock, because I think he could make a good mean burger, and Kevin Hart, just because he's a very much a business guy, and I think he has pretty good taste in terms of, you know, sometimes he's selling food and drinks, and I think that could be a good collaboration. Maybe they call it the Jumanji Burger. Maybe get Jack Black in on there. And yeah, who knows what could happen.
I was thinking Central Intelligence, but that's a much better film franchise they've been together to choose. Makes far more sense.
And imagine they give you a Jumanji board and you opened it and that's what your meal's inside.
Ooh.
And it does rumble.
Honestly, would you open the Jumanji board? Because I honestly wouldn't. Like, it's just not worth it.
You can buy it.
Yeah, but don't open it. I've seen what happens.
I would have gone with the, if you were going to go with The Rock and Kevin Hart, I would have done a big and little combo. So you get a big beefy buffalo burger or something like that, or something like Wagyu beef, and then have a little slider to represent Kevin Hart. Big little.
I think it could celebrate their entire franchise, their film franchise. That would be good. I like that.
Yeah. Well, my one is, well, I was thinking like a celebrity, what burger I'd like to hear from, and burger I'd like to hear from, burger I'd like to eat. But then I realized, you know, we're technically sitting in the company of a celebrity, Matt, because you've crossed the 30,000 Twitter followers, which makes you technically a celebrity, apparently. I say technically, but absolute, of course.
How many Twitter followers?
You need 30.
So you crossed 30,000. Oh. Yeah. And obviously, in recent weeks, you've gone absolutely... Yeah. Interstellar. But then I realized we could call the burger joint Matt Sliders.
Ooh, that's good.
I know you'd enjoy that. It's a slightly forced pun, but you know, I it also reminds me of the fact that back in the day when we could go to Mobile World Congress in Barcelona every year, we'd go to this burger shop, burger joint you call it, I suppose, and every year we'd tell them it was Matt Sliders' birthday, and every year they put a balloon on the chair. And because the first time it was, you know, 2014 or whenever it was when I had to book it first. And at the end, they said, any special requests? And I couldn't help but just say, yeah, it's Matt Swider's birthday, because you were the one coming from furthest away. So, and it's now a tradition.
The special instruction said, please have balloons, just as a joke. And they actually had balloons. And we're like, wow, this is really nice. It was my first time in Barcelona, and it was a great welcoming. So that was nice.
Yeah. Do you ever done that where you sort of say it's someone's birthday as a joke, and then they put on like that, they bring out a cake at the end or whatever, and you start to feel really guilty?
When we went to E3, do you remember this, Swider? When we went to E3, we went to a Korean restaurant and we had Korean barbecue. And no joke, during our meal, five different times, the happy birthday, like, overhead song came on. And I don't think there was five different birthdays in that small establishment that same night.
Yeah, it was too much of a coincidence.
Yeah, once you hear it can happen. Yeah, exactly. They should ask for ID, but then it kind of takes away their romance. I mean, I don't think I can see past Cherie's idea as a culinary exquisite experience, but Vic explained the celebrity of Pokemon to me very well, so I feel like it's an equal points situation. And we've already got enough Matt Swider on today's podcast, so I feel like the world doesn't need more of that. But let's go on to the next section, which is the Gadget Hall of Fame. And Victoria Hood, you are stepping into this hallowed hall, I'd say. It's a very echoey hall right now. There's not a lot of stuff in there, but what are you bringing to the Gadget Hall of Fame and why?
So I am bringing the Game Boy Game Link cable, which was the cable that you used to get to connect your Game Boy to other people so that you could trade your Pokemon across, mainly your Pokemon. I think you could do other stuff, but it meant that you could plug them in. I'm bringing it because it is the first and only time I got grounded was over the usage of that cable, which was we used to play Game Boy in church every Sunday,
which isn't, you know, is probably frowned upon.
Let's unpack that a bit, yeah. Were you allowed to play Game Boy in the church?
Well, we didn't really pay attention, but it was me and my two cousins, and we each had, like, one had yellow, one had blue, and one had, and I had red. And we used to just line up and play Pokemon. And we only got in trouble usually if you left, like, the battle music on during, like, the prayer times, where you just hear do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do in the background.
You are bad at hiding stuff.
Well, yeah, we turned it down. But yeah, we used to use that because you could actually, like, trade the Pokemon, because yellow had, like, Pikachu, and then each game had, like, special Pokemon that the other ones didn't. I mean, you could do it, and you had to go into, like, the Poke Center, into the special, like, I don't know, machine thing, and then you could trade across, and then you'd, you know, be all badass because you had a high level Pokemon that you didn't earn at all.
Yeah, I mean, I do very much remember the Game Boy Link. That for me, this was when I was really young, like 10 years old, which was a worryingly long time ago now. The idea you could play Tetris with three other friends, where you had, like, it wasn't just one link cable, it was like a centralized hub that you all plugged into. And I still to this day don't really know how you play four player Tetris on Game Boys that were that old, but apparently you could. And oh my God, I wanted it. I didn't have four friends that had Game Boys, nor did they all have the Tetris game. That was, you know, some real issues with that. And, you know, kids these days, with their Wi-Fi and their easily free downloadable games, don't know they're born. You know, they're playing their Among Us. You know, you don't know the pain of having to wait up to 2 years to find out you're never going to get to play multiplayer Tetris. They don't know that pain. But I do, when you said that cable and you suggested it, I thought, yeah, I know exactly what you mean. The idea that our younger days, that two separate, essentially inanimate objects could, you know, connect and communicate was just phenomenal. So I fully endorse this as an idea. Cherie, I feel like you would have had either had an opinion on this or hated it or had one or had 10, I don't know.
I do remember that. Like, I was one of the few folks with a Game Boy, so I, like, while I wistfully wanted to play with someone else, like, it was just not an option. So it's just like, oh, all right, like, I guess I'm just gonna go play Tetris for the millionth time by myself. All by myself.
Playing Tetris. What a great day. Dun, 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 dun. Anyway, I think that's a good addition. I'm going to put it in the good side of the Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
the side, well, it's not, there's basically like a small room where the headphones live with whatever it was we put in last week. What was it last week? I've forgotten. Whatever it was, it went in there as well. So there's a little bedfellow for Swider's headphones over there. But anyway, on to the news of what's been happening this week. And there's a fair amount. So let's start off with, there's so much choice here, but I'm going to go with actually not on the running order as the first thing, but the DJI drone. This one has actually blown up quite a lot. It's obviously DJI, a massive drone manufacturer. However, slight issues with the way that they're being seen in the US at the moment, but it doesn't seem to stop people's interest in this device, right, Swider?
Yeah, it's actually their first-person view drone. And so the FPV drone, as they're calling it, is unique in that it takes what was previously a hobbyist type of gadget and makes it a turnkey operation. Like, I got this up and running within, a few minutes. And that's not typical for a drone where you're basically doing everything but soldering parts, which you may also be doing when putting one together. This is a racing drone that is very fast, 87 miles per hour is top speed. It can go 0 to 62 in 2 seconds.
Whoa.
Yeah, it's incredibly fast. It's more for going forward and back rather than panning and making these smooth cinematic shots like DJI's other drones. But it's incredibly fun to fly, mostly because you are doing it from the cockpit view, because you have these almost like VR goggles on, and you put these goggles on, this headset on, to kind of steer from the camera that's in the nose of the drone. So the DJI FPV drone is quite unique.
So I mean, when you say FPV, first person view, obviously we've, you know, many people might have seen drone racing where there's people wearing these headsets and flying around. Has DJI never had one of those before?
They haven't really done it officially themselves with their own mass market thing. They have the goggles. They call them goggles. It's really a VR-like headset that you put on, and they've had those for a number of years. But I feel like, from what I've seen, it's a bunch of hobbyist things that they were kind of pitching, but it wasn't really from them. This is the first thing that's packaged and has the DJI name all over it.
Okay, and so if it is racing friendly, then why does it just go forward and back? Surely you need to go like left and right and up and down and zoomy zoom.
It does that, but it doesn't do it nearly as well as the Mavic series, for example, that is all about like smooth Hollywood-like shots. This is more, you see, I could pull off really fast shots where you're kind of going over a city and doing like a really quick sweep. But in terms of those slower cinematic shots, that you're better off with a Mavic.
And was it good? Was it expensive? Would you buy one?
No, it's really for a small audience that probably does not include me, but it's a lot of fun. So if you really want to show something off, that this is like a really cool gadget, but it's over $1,000 for the entire kit, which is quite expensive for use cases that you would get out of it. I don't think I would be able to use it very much because I'm in New York City and Manhattan is technically ambiguously illegal to fly in New York City, but you have to go to special parts, which are kind of an hour away. And for that reason, I think that's DJI's biggest problem, besides the government stuff, that you have to kind of take it to a special park, and it kind of defeats the purpose because then I can't get Manhattan in the skyline, etc.
Yeah, I understand. And Cherie, drones. I feel like you've got. Have you used many? Do you use them to carry your stuff?
I have not used many because, like Schweider said, we are in New York City and there are only certain areas that you can fly a drone in. And I've only flown a drone myself about three times. And one of those was with DJI when they were first demoing that what Schweider is reviewing now. And it was awesome. It was pretty dope. Like it very much is like being in VR, and I loved every minute of it. And I wish sometimes I wish I lived in an area where I could do more drone work. But then again, I live in New York and it's pretty dope.
Vic, have you ever lost a drone?
No, I don't. I've never tried one because I know that I would break it. Like, there's a certain level of like when technology gets so expensive that I can't be trusted with it anymore. And I'm not a very good, like...
Where is that level? Just for my own information, Vic. Just asking for a friend.
Just anything that is below definitely what I already have on me. Definitely anything more than a PlayStation 5, I can be trusted with that. But, essentially, I can't drive. I'm definitely not going to try and fly a tiny, like, drone plane-like thing.
And as you mentioned there, PS5, I think that leads us on very nicely to, I don't know, Swider's news this week. Like, you've gone from 0 to 62 in terms of Twitter followers in the same sort of sense very quickly, right? It's all gone a bit crazy for you, Swider.
Yes, and what's really funny is it's all because of this PS5 drop. The console's dropping right now on Amazon, and I'm trying to tweet out as well as do a podcast. It's out of stock on Amazon already. That's how quickly these things are going. And I feel like there are so many people I've helped connect to a PS5. And yet there's still so many people who don't have it, who have been tweeting at me. So I'm going to continue to do it. I've went from 21,000 followers about 14 days ago, and I'm going to cross 100,000 followers today. And I've had athletes, celebrities, politicians, all follow me for getting a PS5, and still quite hard to get. I haven't even gotten one, mostly because I'm updating the Tech Writer page and tweeting it out, and then trying to lazily get my PS5 as well, and it just doesn't work. You have to be dedicated. You have to have persistence. If you go to my Twitter, I am putting up a pinned tweet that has an FAQ, 30-part FAQ, that will help people kind of nab one if you have persistence.
And I think what's interesting about this is, you know, we've covered in TechRadar over the years loads of things where it's like how to get XYZ. And, you know, from my perspective, the only reason that you're able to or need to do this so much in terms of the PS5 side of things is just it's madness how it's taken this long to get. Well, it was still this far through in terms of the console being launched and people still can't get them. I know it's scalpers. I know it's bots. I know you're also tweeting about the Xbox Series X, which is suffering the same amount, I guess. But I mean, even given knowing what we know, are you surprised with the level of fervor, you know, in March 2021?
Yeah, we've seen stock of GPUs go out, and that's because of cryptocurrency. This one's because there's a silicon shortage, and also, you know, they can't seem, like, COVID's an issue as well, but they can't seem to get the chips out there. And that is creating this wave of uncertainty among consumers who, some of them are saying, maybe I'll switch to Xboxes. That's slightly more available. But
Vic is shaking her head vigorously right now.
No, yeah, it's the fact that the chip issue overall is just affected all the consoles, as Matt is absolutely, you know, fully aware. Like, even if you can get an Xbox Series X, that's like not easy in itself, because the problem is, yeah, a lot down to that chip shortage and the fact that the big boys like Apple and Huawei have bought up a lot of those chips, and it's kind of become a chip arm race essentially, which we're expecting those shortages to continue to maybe Christmas at this point. Xbox, maybe not, maybe sometime into middle of this year, but the PS5 ones could continue right up until Christmas, unfortunately, which is a real shame.
I just tweeted something and it has 117 replies and it's less than a minute old, 122 replies. Like, that's how much fervor is here for this system, and like people are just going crazy for it.
Who's the biggest celebrity or politician or whoever that has followed you since you started this, Matt?
That's a good question. There are some people like world star hip hop that followed me for this, but the biggest, the account that means the most to me, or among celebrities, I like the average people too. Is a guy named Chris Williams, who plays Hoover, or played Hoover on a show called Silicon Valley on HBO. Very funny show, and I got a kick out of that because he had an exchange with me saying, "Oh yeah, I'm also looking for the PS5," and I said, "Oh, we'll try to get you one, Hoover," and he came back with you know, in character saying his boss, which a very you know, Silicon Valley-esque, you know, dominating boss named Gavin. He's like, "Gavin only got me the Hooli Box 3, and that, you know, POS doesn't work." And I was like, "Oh, that's funny." So yeah, he was, he was very kind and smart. And hopefully, we get him a PS5 before the end of the week, because I think there's going to be a massive shipment this entire week.
The thing is, as well, is obviously what we're doing, what you're doing, is not, you know, going behind the scenes and talking about, you know, finding out exactly what's happening in inventory, or there's no kind of separate information that's going. It's just people are desperate to know anything about it right now. And it's, I mean, Cherie, obviously you've been covering the PS5 on Laptop Mag for a while. Did you foresee this much interest this long after launch?
I hate scalpers. Y'all are the worst. that goes for console scalpers, ticket scalpers, Pokemon card scalpers, sneaker scalpers, y'all the worst. Like, you are creating something, you are keeping things from people that need a little bit of joy in a pandemic. And I think it's terrible. I think it's terrible that Matt Swider has to dedicate so much time to helping people get a PS5 to the point that there is a 30-point FAQ on how to, what should be, "Hey, I go to the website. I see that the thing is in stock. I click the button. It goes in my cart. I pay. Boom, boom." That is how sad this is. And it's ridiculous. And like, yes, part shortage and all of that, but it's really about greed. There is no reason to be selling, for these people to be doing these bots, buying up all this stuff and selling it back to people at ridiculous prices. And a lot of us, like, thank God I'm employed. I'm very happy to be employed. A lot of people aren't in that position, and you're doing this. It's ridiculous. I to answer your question, no, I did not think that we would still be doing this late in the game, 6 months after the consoles have launched. But here we are because the world sucks.
Yeah. What worried me was, like, I moved house recently and I had to put my PlayStation 5 box into another bag and hide it and make sure that either myself or my partner were always guarding the PS5 at all times and it couldn't be alone. Because I'm so untrustworthy of anybody potentially taking the console at this point. And that's not a case of, like, you know, people do anything. It's a case of being like, there's a lot of kids that really want to play PS5. And that's what my heart absolutely goes out to those families who cannot give, like, their kid is asking for this in a pandemic when they can't see their friends and this is what they want. And they're doing so much to try and, like, achieve that wish. And unfortunately, these scalpers, like you said, Sherry, are just taking that from them.
And Vic, I mean, the PS5 has been out, what, like 5 months now? Is it, do you think, in terms of the material, is it 5 months, 6 months? Hey, I can't remember.
Yeah, November. Came out November.
And so do you feel like in that time it's actually increased in, you know, when it first came out, same as any console, there's only so many games, there's only so many things you can do. Is it increased to the point now where it kind of deserves this level of excitement?
I don't think so yet, but that's probably a kind of good thing. We had State of Play the other day and I wrote a piece because it was a bit disappointing. So Sony State of Play is... Sony have a kind of showcase usually focused on games that they run every few months, but there's not like an actual set time when it's going to show up. They'll just tell you a couple of days before and it shows up. And last year that was super exciting because the PS5 launch was at the end of last year. And so, you know, we all had something to look forward to. And there was something really exciting about that speculation, every State of Play, knowing that you probably weren't going to get something on the PS5 about the way it looked or its price. But, like, we were all joined in that kind of, oh, will they, won't they? And now we know what it is. And we know the lay of the land for this year. And State of Play didn't really think there's anything to be excited about. It didn't feel like it's giving people a reason to want to queue and to, you know, like, absolutely chase down this console. And I don't know if maybe Sony is pulling back on the marketing a little bit because it knows that it can't actually meet the demand. I don't know. There's some good stuff coming up in the future, but we're at that weird point that you get with any console. It's the same with Xbox, where we're transitioning from people having a PS4 into having a PS5, and you have to kind of, you know, satisfy the people that are still on PS4 and can't upgrade yet, or, like, for whatever reason, and the people who want that, like, next gen experience on PS5. So it's a weird kind of point at the minute. And by, I think, summer to the end of this year, we'll start seeing something a bit more exciting.
I think this is the hardest toy to get since Turbo Man from Jingle All the Way.
That I like is, how you felt the need to explain Silicon Valley to quite an engaged tech audience, but, you know, everyone knows Jingle All the Way, don't they? I mean, I do know what you're talking about.
The holiday classic.
Yeah.
It is.
It's no Elf.
Schwarzenegger, Sinbad.
Imagine if Arnie had you and he just, like, sat at the computer and was able to check and be like, oh, got a Turbo Man, done.
In my mind, Arnold Schwarzenegger is pregnant in that film because I watched it relatively close to Junior.
Yeah, I could see him doing that same. We're in the digital version of Jingle All the Way. That's what's happening on my Twitter. I did say I would give people some tips, and this is one tip. Get a bundle. I know they're despised, but you're probably going to buy Spider-Man anyway. You may buy Demon's Souls. If you don't want that bundle, like, I didn't want NBA 2K21, because mostly because it was $20 cheaper already at, you know, in the store separately, and it was $70. So it was $50 separately, but $70 in the bundle if you add up all the parts. So that's a bad buy. But bundles, by and large, are actually a good thing because scalpers cannot actually sell the games for a profit. So it kind of diminishes their audience, and they only make a lot of money off the console. So bundles are actually a good thing, despite what you think. That may be your best option because they go slower.
And I mean, for people that may be coming to listen to this from your now mega Twitter army, you know, what's the message to them if they're looking for a PS5?
Persistence. And in the FAQ, I mentioned refresh the page a lot on everything but Best Buy. Best Buy has a different system where you're kind of like waiting on the page after you click add to cart, and it says, please wait. A lot of people disregard that and refresh. That's not the thing to do. So I'm giving all the information there. And a lot of people got it from Amazon, which is the hardest retailer. That is the retailer, if you're going to not try one, that's the retailer not to try because everybody already has their credit card loaded up. It's going to go really, really fast. Whereas a lot of people have to log into Best Buy. Log in with your credentials ahead of time. That's it. But it's mostly be persistent. Microsoft Store, for example, every 5 minutes, it'll have new stock after initially launching some stock. And that's because people's credit card gets declined or they cancel their order. And all of a sudden, 5 minutes later, it goes back into inventory. And that lasts for about 15 to 20 minutes. So there's four chances there if you play it smart.
Cool. Well, if there's anyone listening from Swider's new Twitter army, then welcome. Thank you very much. Please subscribe. Give us 5 stars on Apple. We'd love you very much. Moving on to another big thing that could be happening is the rumored Apple event that, again, might be coming along soon, might not be. Apple does stuff in March sometimes. Apple sometimes doesn't do stuff in March. Sometimes it launches an iPad. Sometimes it doesn't launch an iPad. Sometimes it launches AirTags. No, that never happens. It's never launched AirTags. I talk about AirTags on this podcast a lot. This kind of much vaunted product that Apple would make that would, you know, basically work like Find My iPhone, but find my tag, and you could put it on anything. You could put it on bag. You could put it in your wallet. You could put it on your keys, whatever. And then theoretically, anybody with an iPhone or an iDevice of any description could sense it, you know, via Bluetooth, anonymously, of course, and then just tell you, oh yeah, you left your bag in the train station because someone with an iPhone walked past, and there you are, brilliant. As an idea, it makes so much sense. And then the amount of times it's been rumored they're coming, and, you know, we've seen sort of mock-ups and designs and everything, that I'm now annoyed at Apple for not bringing out something they've never, ever said they're going to bring out, which is really unfair, if you think about it. But Matt, you've obviously been to a number of Apple events in the past, and you've covered many of them. You know, do you think we're going to have one this year? Do you think it's going to be a big one?
I said yes previously to this, and that was a mistake. And I'm going to say yes again, because I am, you know, double or nothing. I think it's going to happen. It is, Samsung came out with one, and they came out with one that's probably not going to be as good because it doesn't contain this ultra wideband technology. So I think Apple's going to do it, mostly because it's so heavily rumored, and it's such an, I don't want to say belittle it, that's easy product to put out, but Tile has been doing it for years. And basically what Apple is doing is creating a more cohesive ecosystem around that, and probably using a lot of iPhones to ping. If you stick one in a tag in your backpack or on your keys and you leave it somewhere and you walk away, the great thing about the Tile trackers, if someone else has a Tile, it'll help you locate your Tile. But not everybody has a Tile, so that kind of community effect isn't as effective as it could be. A lot of people have an iPhone, so that's going to help you track down those keys or that bag or that purse a lot easier. So I think it'll happen. It's an easy enough product to put out there.
But do you think, Cherie, do you think we're going to see, you know, I hasten to say it, but like thing like an iPad Pro? I know you're against them in theory.
I mean, I don't believe they exist, but yeah, sure. It's going to pop up. And once again, we're going to be told that this will replace your desktop and this and that. And I mean, if it comes with an M1 chip, I'd be more apt to buy into the hype, depending on how the Magic Keyboard is rocking. But yeah, I think there's going to be one coming. But like, I'm more excited about the laptops. Now, according to the rumors, we're getting in one in every shape, form, fashion, and size. 15 inches, 14 inches, 16 inches. Mini LEDs, old ports making a comeback, SSD cards and HDM ports for everyone. So the rumors have been running rampant. I'm just eager to see what is actually going to be presented. Apparently there might be a new Apple Pencil somewhere down the line. So there's all this stuff. Nary a AirTag.
I mean, all the stuff you just said there was great and insightful and really interesting, but I can't get over the fact that you did the count voice with a series of numbers out of sync.
I know. Really upsetting me. I know.
14, that, 13, 16. No, he would never do that.
I know. Chaotic count.
I know. Can't. That goes to the fundamental foundation of so many of us. It's like, no. It's in order. It's not reading out the lottery numbers. It's very clear. Right, we are running super late on this. We've got so much to get through. So let's take a quick break. And then after that, we're going to come back and do a lovely news blast with our own Cherie.
Whee!
And it's time for the news blast with Cherie L. Smith, Miss Smith 11 on the Twits. Cherie, obviously you know how to do this game, but explain to the listeners what you're going to be doing and why.
So basically, our video producer was kind enough to pull together a number of new hot news stories of the week. And it is my job, without using the title, to tell you succinctly but completely what these news stories are about in under 60 seconds.
And I have got a stopwatch. I'm loading it right now. And I have two different stopwatches on this phone. One of them is the fancy analog and one is the digital. Cherie's getting the fancy stuff today.
Right,
Cherie, are you ready?
Let's do this thing.
Right, on your marks, get set, go.
What small fits in your pocket and has more RAM than your gaming laptop? It is the ASUS ROG phone. It will have more RAM than your gaming laptop. Bandai Namco, makers of Dark Souls, Ace Attorney, Tekken, they have copyrighted Bandai Next, which might be a Nintendo Direct copycat. Love to see it. Samsung is ditching Tizen finally and going over to Android Wear OS. Smartwatch wearers rejoice. Destiny 2, Bungie has filed for BungieCon. Don't think it's a convention. It looks like it might be merchandise. So Destiny merchandise, okay. The Queen's Gambit 2, that's not going to happen right now because Netflix hasn't greenlit it. So fingers crossed on that one. Last of Us 2, you laughed, you cried, you swore at the air. It's gotten 13 BAFTA. BAFTA? Am I saying that right? Probably not. yeah, what she said. They got 13 nominations for that. Yeah, that's right about where I usually am.
Yeah, it stopped a while ago, but I was watching you just try and say the word BAFTA, so that was great. Yeah. It's a very English thing. I apologize for making difficult acronyms. I've got a couple of things on that. I mean, I can't believe that Netflix isn't making The Queen's Gambit season 2. Like, there's got to be something huge as to why you wouldn't make a second season of that. They toss out second series of anything on Netflix, and they're not to do this. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I don't want to spoil it, but like, where would you continue on from? Because like, the first one was based on like, I think, a short book. So if they've used up all the stuff from that, you'd have to just start like winging it.
And Game of Thrones managed it quite happily.
Yeah, but it's got such a big... It's chess. I know we really liked it while it was on, but it's still chess. How many games of chess can you watch before you're like, Like, we bought a chess board.
Many people love a lot of chess, and I think they could watch many thousands. I'm torn. I didn't enjoy Game of Thrones. I quite enjoyed Queen's Gambit. I don't know, dragons versus chess? Genuinely, it's fairly equal for me. So it's more to the point, like, a thing was a smash hit, and the fact that you can't instantly think about where it would go doesn't seem to be a stop for normal streaming services making new things. And secondly, the Galaxy Watch 4, I don't want it to join Wear OS. It never should. We had a really good piece on from freelancer Michael Saw, who made a very good point that why would you leave Tizen? I know it's Samsung's own thing, but it works. It makes good stuff. Apart from not having loads of apps on it, you know, which on smartwatches are less of a thing, I can't see why Samsung would ever move. There must be some sort of desirous licensing deal from Google. Who knows? But I don't feel like the natural move makes sense. And finally, Bandai Namco, you didn't mention Ridge Racer. What are you doing?
I don't do racing games.
I mean, it's the only one I know really from Bandai Namco.
Yeah, so don't do that. Don't do that to me.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. Vic, Bandai Namco, what does it mean to you?
Well, Bandai Namco is, you know, it's pretty big publisher. They did do some, you know, they've done like some Little Nightmares, things like that, which should really come out this year. What is big that they've got going on is they're publishing the Elden Ring, which is the, coming back to Game of Thrones, George R. R. Martin / From Software upcoming RPG that everyone wants to know everything about. There's been some leaked footage coming that's been doing the rounds online from it, and Microsoft has said that they're not going to reveal anything anytime soon, well, not officially. So if Bandai Namco do have this next event, maybe that's where we'll see a bit more of Elden Ring.
Cool. Okay, I like it. I've realized as well that I've just looked at our next section, which is going to be the hey, what's going on? And I've ruined a very good chance for a lovely segue with Queen's Gambit 2 chat, because we're going to go into... although I just realised we always forget the since we dropped Unpopular Opinions, we've dropped the song from Cherie. So Cherie, can you give us something for what's going on?
No, because immediately I have a Marvin Gaye copyright in my head. So I will. You ask me again next week, I will have something. But right now, all I can hear in my mind is Marvin Gaye.
Me too.
All I'm hearing is Four Non Blondes, which is very much a UK focused song.
Yeah, I forgot
again,
about
can't
that.
Do it. But you know, listen to both of those songs. But what's going on? Is that copyright? Who knows? But anyway, I've missed the opportunity for a lovely segue to ask the question: are we all getting bored of Netflix? You know, and the Queen's Gambit point is an excellent chance to highlight that, because and let me tell you why. You know, obviously Netflix is world dominating. Everyone's watching it in lockdown. It's, you know, clearly a staple of many people's lives, but Disney Plus is coming. It's on track to hit 100 million subscribers at some point in the future. There are rumors that it could overtake Netflix. And, you know, in basically, Disney Plus is one of those ones that if you've got kids, seems to be like almost a enshrined that you must have it. If you don't have Disney Plus, you're missing out on obviously all the Disney films, all these different shows. And even though there's not the wealth of content that's on Netflix, you know, in America, you've got Hulu and you've got all this extra content. And in the UK now we've got Star. So, you know, the suite is expanding massively. It's cheaper by a long way. I don't know. Everyone here is obviously stuck inside. Do we still feel the same about Netflix we did 12 months ago, 2 years ago? Cherie?
I have a lot of streaming services. So, and Netflix does give me a Queer Eye, a lot of anime that I am not watching on Crunchyroll. And like it always has some weird just weird shows and movies, and it is a great place for docs. So no, I'm not bored with Netflix yet. It's just that there's just more variety, but what I will say is that with all that variety, it's getting a smaller market share of my eyeball time.
And Vic, you asked the question the other day of should I actually subscribe to Disney Plus to the group?
Yes.
No, because I've got a subscription. I've got the free trial the first time it came out. And, you know, I did that thing where you're like, oh, there's that program I watched as kids. There's some movies. And then immediately novelty wore off. And then I got it again because over Christmas I was like, I'm going to try The Mandalorian. And I watched a few episodes of it. And then I was like, this is good, but is it worth me paying this amount of money each month just for this show when there's nothing else I want to watch? Because I have, like, here in the UK, I've got the Sky, like, movie pack, so there's a lot of Disney movies I get on that. And yeah, I don't know, it's like Sherry said, I've got so many different streaming services, I just bounce between them, but every time I go right to Netflix, I hope it's going to have something to pull me in, and it doesn't. I now use it for like RuPaul that I know is going to come once a week and hoping they'll bring on a murder documentary. But even those are getting a bit, I don't know, poorer in quality for me.
And Matt, do you subscribe to HBO Max yet?
Yes. And I like that.
People are talking about this like the kind of, you know, it's the new hotness, same as Paramount Plus. They're the ones you want to get on. You know, these HBO Max, Paramount, they're the things people are talking about.
Yeah, I think the most underrated service is Paramount Plus, which just launched yesterday by the time this podcast is out there. March 4th was their launch day, and they've been hyping it up. Paramount is like an old Hollywood studio that really hasn't had a good brand or hasn't had great brand recognition in the last couple of years, but they have an extensive library of titles. You got Top Gun, you got Indiana Jones. There's so many things. They own SpongeBob and the whole Nickelodeon Studios. They own MTV. They own CBS. Like, they finally have a good platform, and they didn't go with the Viacom name because that's also not a strong brand for them. So Paramount is a mystery to a lot of people, but I think they have more content than people assume, and that's chipping away at Netflix a little bit because, like Sheree said, you know, my eyeball time is going to Netflix less and less, even though I still rely on it and probably am not going to give up the subscription. You know, that didn't happen with Disney Plus. It's probably not going to happen now.
Absolutely the same. Yeah, I feel like Disney Plus I'm locked into because I paid for the year-long subscription in one go. And I feel like others don't offer that same kind of desire. But then you get Amazon Prime where everyone's got it. You know, who's got Amazon Prime remembers, oh, yeah, I've got this as well. Brilliant. So it's it's a really congested market out there, and I feel like, I mean, the people that win are the consumers. As long as you can decide what you want to watch, which is impossible. But if you get that down, you know, we're cutting the ties to the cable in America. It's a wonderful thing. Right, we have gone way over time as usual, so I think it's time to wrap this one up. Episode 54, according to the producer, we totally missed our year long anniversary. Well done us, we did manage the year. Hey, woo! Vic, have you had a good time today?
I have, yeah. I like talking about games and Pokemon burgers.
Yeah, the two key things to take away from this, absolutely. And Matt Swider, you've obviously been trying to do two things at once. Have you managed to split the dimensions?
Yes, but I still don't have a PS5, and I'm sad about that. But that's because I was doing a podcast and tweeting about it and communicating in Slack to get it up on Tech Radar. So maybe
I'm very
later this
I'm
episode.
Very impressed. I feel like, but at some point, you not having one is going to come back to bite you. Surely, if there's people that are from the Swider Twitter army who have got this far and listened all the way through, you have to pledge them. You're going to get one soon. You're going to use this power for your own good at some point, right?
Yes, and I will like to say I really like everybody's. That's the most rewarding part. Is everybody's photos of console in hand. I've gotten videos now of people getting surprised that they have a console. It's just very gratifying more than anything else. It's the Twitter followers crossing 100K today. I'm at 97 now. I went up 1,000 in this podcast. That's great, but it's really the people's reactions and getting them what they have been waiting months to buy.
And also just a reminder, if you are following Matt Swider on Twitter and thinking about posting anything to say thank you, well done, do make sure you blur out any personal information, whether it's order numbers or anything that can identify you. We see that a lot, and it's like, great, but just look after yourselves out there, Twitter, come on.
Yeah, so. Order numbers, especially look for those emails. If someone has your order number, they're probably not going to go cancel it on you, but they could, and you want to just take that precaution.
Cool. Sheree, as ever, I hope you've had a good time.
Always. Each and every time is a good time.
And how can people get in contact with you? Give us the jingle now.
I mean, Twitter, Facebook. Well, no, don't hit me up on Facebook. You don't want that type of life. Twitter, Instagram, Miss Smith 11. That is MISS Smith 11. And as always, for the latest news on laptops, tablets, which I do not believe in, headphones, and a variety of other mobile tech, absolutely drop in on Laptop Mag. And as always, laptop then, laptop now, laptop forever!
I love that hat peeked at your microphone. Swider, obviously, many people know, but how do people find you?
Yeah, you can find me at Matt Swider in on all of the platforms. And yeah, I am amassing his PS5 army, also Xbox, but not as in demand. But yeah, that's at Matt Swider, all the platforms, and I will help you out with finding anything you need to restock for, even GPUs, if people demand it. Just let me know.
Yeah, people do demand it. We should add that in. I feel like you know, to be more inclusive, but then equally we need to, you know, copy you and clone you a bit more to give more chance.
I need to sleep.
Yeah, I'll sleep eventually. Yes, you do. Vic, how about you? How can people find out more? Reading Tech Radar, assuming that?
Yeah, Reading Tech Radar, and you can get me Hood_Vic on Twitter. But also, we've just relaunched the Tech Radar Gaming Twitter page, so you can follow that at Tech Radar Gaming symbols, and you can get all your gaming news right there.
Well done. Very good plug. I'd forgotten about that. And it's all you putting that back together. Well done. It's nice to see something resurrected. So good stuff. I've been Gareth Davis, editor-in-chief of Tech Radar. You can find Tech Radar tweeting on the hashtag, not a hashtag, the handle Tech Radar across all the socials. I'm Super Beav if you want to say hello. Literally no one has in a year based on the podcast, so that's quite painful. So if you feel like doing it, Matt Swider was talking about his Twitter following recently, and he's like, some people have only got 5,000. And that hurt me, because he was doing it pointedly straight at me, because he knew exactly how many I had. So
it was a mistake.
Yeah, I saw you looking me deep in the eyes at the same time. Right, but yeah, thank you very much for listening to this podcast. As ever, do subscribe if you can do. Do give us 5 stars if you can on any different platform. Apple is a good one. And please keep listening, and thank you for doing so today. Bye, everyone. Speak to you next week.
Bye.
Bye.